It is Tuesday morning. We check in with City Councilman Tim Mayer. He makes his weekly Tuesday visit. Tim, 85 on Thursday there. Time to get the suntan lotion back out.
Yeah, time to break out the shorts again, I guess.
That's exactly right. And how's everything? Last time we talked to you, you had about 17 meetings last week. Started on Tuesday. You had stuff on Wednesday. Just a quick recap of how it all went.
Well, it was pretty busy. It was a pretty busy week, and it did go well. We did get the all the voting members of the local option income tax together in the Nat U Hill room. Had a group picture taken. That was pretty special. And each governing unit, which was the City of Bloomington, Monroe County, and Ellettsville Town Council, all went through the motions and made their voted for to include the LOIT in our going forward. So
the reason you took the picture was nobody could remember the last time you all met together. So you have to archive this time to make sure that the that our ancestors can trace this back at some point when they open the time capsule 100 years from now.
That is true.
Well, that's good that everything got together. Marty Hawk argued she didn't want to be part of the picture for a $7 million tax increase. I get all that. That's why we have both of you on, so we can hear both sides of the story on all of that. But this week, busy times as well as what's on the agenda for tomorrow night's meeting. It is tomorrow night, right? I finally got that.
Is correct.
Nothing
tomorrow
on Tuesday.
Evening, Wednesday at 7:30 in the council chambers, we will have a committee of the whole meeting. We have three items on our agenda. The first one will be to designate a property historic, which is at 2233 East Moores Pike. This is the owner of that property has come forward and said that they would like to have their property designated. It's a 50s modern style home, and they're interested in doing that. So typically the council will look at that and grant that request. So,
Tim, what's that do for them as a homeowner?
Well, what it does is it restricts things in the going into the future, so that they have to basically maintain the look of the structure as it was built. But they do have the option to come before the Historic Preservation
Variance, baby.
Yeah, for a variance if they want to say do an addition to the property or something to that of that nature.
If so. They sell that property, are the people who buy it bound to the same restrictions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, once it's designated, I think it's pretty much that's the way it'll be.
There aren't any perks they get from the city for doing this, are there?
No, there are not.
Okay.
They get protection under the statute, right, Tim?
Well, that's true. That's true. So, but it preserves that property in a particular state that that is agreed upon by the city staff and the petitioner coming forward.
So. You see any controversy with that one?
No, not at all, because it is voluntary. And,
okay.
And yeah.
It's their idea.
Right.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. He checks in before the big city council meeting Wednesday night, 7:30 at council chambers. So there's item number one. What else is on the list?
Item number two is a big one, and
uh-oh.
That is the Dunhill apartment complex that is being looked at to go from its current high multifamily to a planned unit development. And they basically will go in and remove all the structures that are currently on the site. So that's Dunn Street and 17th Street, that be the northwest corner that currently called the Dunhill Apartments. There's a convenience store right on the corner that is not affected by this.
So we're just west of that, correct?
West and north.
Okay.
Because it runs between 17th and jumps over 18th Street. So it's about a 5.9-acre parcel of land. Currently, the site, I've got the numbers here in front of me. Currently, there's about 328 bedrooms, and they will be going to almost 700 bedrooms. It's quite a jump.
Double your pleasure, double your fun.
Yes. So they're going from basically two- and three-story structures to four-story structure. We'll have a parking garage which will park about 490 automobiles and a large bike rack area. So So, you know, it's a big project, and we do know that the people in Garden Acres are not happy about it. So I expect we'll see the neighbors come out and talk about that project. So,
Tim, does this require tearing down something in order to build something new?
It will scrape the entire site clean and start
wow.
from scratch. Yeah.
Now, the people in that neighborhood have lived with students. They've lived with apartments. They've lived with houses. They've lived with things. Why is the construction building the issue here, or the density of population the issue?
Well, I think it's the latter. I did not attend the plan commission meetings when this was discussed, but I do know that the neighbors did attend those meetings and did have questions and concerns.
And I have a feeling they'll attend your meeting tomorrow night.
Oh, they definitely will come and see us. I'm sure they will. And, you know, we look forward to that kind of discussion because it gives you they're there every day. And so they have a different perspective than somebody who just...
Absolutely.
Doesn't even drive by the site, but maybe twice a year. So
as we move forward, and we always do move forward, we don't have a choice to go backwards anymore. This is going to be, and again, you're not on the Planning Commission. I want to stress that, but just you've been around long enough. You and Keith both have. I like the perspective here. As things get older and tireder, you're going to see more of this, aren't we?
Well,
whether it's by Bryant Park, whether it's by the near west side, things are going to. They're not being built the same, and you're not going to be built like for like anymore, are we?
Well, you're right in some regards, and that is that...
That's what my wife says.
Not in everything.
No.
Just some.
No. Uh-huh. And I don't mean to be, because I think that's why I talk to you guys. You guys have been around this.
I think what you will see is you will see some structures being removed and replaced with greater density. But if you recall...
It's more bang for your buck.
Well, it is more bang for your buck, but if you go back and think about what the council did... at the request of staff and others, the Historic Preservation Commission, we basically designated 4th Street, commonly called Restaurant Row, designated that a historic district.
Amen.
So that limits what can occur in that district in terms of removal and replacement.
But in a neighborhood setting, again, you see just older properties that just get older and older, and if people start buying them up and knocking them down, this is...
Well, again, it depends on the neighborhood. So,
sure.
For example, if you live in a single-family residential neighborhood, you're not going to see that kind of activity.
Okay.
Where you'll get a bigger structure for the former existing structure. So, you know, if there's a three-bedroom, one-bath ranch on the property, you may see additions to that property to the structure, but you won't see a wholesale replacement with a three-story structure, for example. It's just not, the zoning will not allow it. So
But the zoning can allow what's happening at the Dunhill apartment complex, and those people know their neighborhood was zoned that way, correct?
Well, they know that it was zoned multifamily. Now what is happening is the petitioner for this project is coming in, and they want it rezoned under what is called the planned unit development. So that changes the nature of it. And then if the plan commission gives it the green light, and now if the city council gives it the green light, that allows it to go from what is called multifamily to a much higher density. So as I mentioned, we're looking at probably about 700 bedrooms as opposed to, what did I tell you?
328.
Yeah, 328, yeah.
Tim, let me ask you a question on that. Is this a two-part process that, number one, you can give them permission to tear down what's there, but may not give them permission to do exactly what they want to do in full?
I suppose that scenario could occur. The petitioner could get a demolition permit and clean the slate, but that does not automatically give them the right to increase the density. And
that's
the
what I was going for.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
You're sitting there as a city council person. You're listening to all of this. What is it you're listening for? What is it that is going to make your mind up that this is good or not good?
Well, I think there's a number of things. One is, how will it impact the existing environment around it. How will the increased density affect the neighborhood, which is basically what I said first. How will that affect future decisions going forward in that particular neighborhood? So if you look at the area, say, between 17th Street, Walnut Street, Dunn Street, and maybe go up to 19th right. or 20th Street, you have to think about what could happen there. I've already run through my mind what happens to Varsity Villas, which have been there a number of years and probably seen a lot of wear and tear. Are they the next big development that's going to come in and remove what's there and come back and build with greater density? You have to look at all those kinds of ramifications as to what happens today, how does it affect what happens into the future. And, this, as I said, this project includes a 490-space parking garage, which is in a way a benefit because the density is going to go up, and you won't have people going out into the neighborhood trying to find curb space to park the cars. So that's a positive on that side. They're thinking forward on that.
But does that imply
there's just a lot that comes into play?
The parking garage imply that there'll be less surface parking in order to make these structures larger?
Yes, that is true. I think where most of the surface parking occurs is in the 18th Street area, according to the maps and layouts that I've looked at. There will be a commercial element, and as I said at the outset, this does not affect the quick stop, whatever it is called, that little retail.
Convenient food mart, right.
Yeah.
Is there a timeline on this, Tim, from the time they start to tear it down until it's ready to have occupants?
That I will learn tomorrow night.
That's a lot of people to displace for a period of time.
That's true. That's true. But typically what I would expect to happen would be if this does pass, then those people who have leases will be wrapped
up. Not renewed.
Right.
Yeah, by the end of spring semester, and then removal begins. So. Wow. I don't know, though, at the rate that buildings are built these days, it's a little unsettling that sometimes,
They pop right up?
Yeah.
Like weeds in the garden?
Well, we talked about the Chocolate Moose site, and that one's slated for occupancy in the fall, if it were to happen. So
when the council's job then tomorrow is to move this along, hear everybody out, do you come back and vote? Will you vote tomorrow night? How does that work?
Well, tomorrow night is committee meeting.
Oh, committee hall. Okay.
We always take a vote, which is basically a straw poll. It's we refer to it as a do pass recommendation. Even if you're going to deny it, you give it a do pass recommendation. And then council members just cast their vote, either yes, no, or pass. And then there is negotiation room between the city council and the petitioner. So you may see some of that happen, which would come forward in the amended forms. So for example, lacking for a good example, but let's say somebody said, well, you need 600 parking spaces.
Okay.
And the petitioner goes, well,
500.
Okay, I guess I can do that. So that would be an amendment to what has already been passed by the Plan Commission. But that's not a good example, but it is an example of what could happen, what could transpire. So
we're speaking with Tim Mayer, who is a member of the Bloomington City Council. And Tim, in the famous Tim Mayer, Mike Glascott sleeping bag ratings, one being fairly routine and five being this is going to be a long, tough meeting. Where are you getting ready for this meeting tomorrow night?
Well, I would say this is a two sleeping bag.
And oh.
We'll point out that 2 weeks ago we got it wrong. We said 1.5, and it turned out to be almost 2.5.
Wow. That was a big percentage.
Why did we discuss the bond issues?
Yeah. But you've got residents from the area that are going to be coming, and they'll want to speak.
Yes.
They want some answers. Also, front page of today's Herald Times, I don't know if you've taken a look at it yet, the city clerk looking for some different budget options, including some salary increases. Where do we need to go on that?
Well, what's currently happening right now is, and we discussed this in last week's committee, the whole meeting on the budget, the council president and the clerk have been in discussions that I understand. Have taken place. As you see in today's article in the HT, council members did pass an amendment to the salary ordinance that would give the clerk the opportunity to increase the salary by 5%. Typically, right now, all non-union employees are getting a 2% raise. Now, the clerk has come in and wants a greater salary increase than the 5%, and the council has not been forthcoming on that. They basically, what the amendment did was it asked the city's human resources department to do a further study on clerk salaries and find some...
Well, let me ask you a question here. Why does it seem like every department independently comes forward and says, hey, look, I'm not making as much as... It seems like every 6 to 9 months, somebody looks around the state to see what somebody else is making. And
no, that's not true.
Is there a book? Well, okay, I'm glad that's not true. Is there a formula or a format where you say, hey, every 15 months, every 2 years, we look at this? And I don't understand why the people in the office have to come and beg for the increase. Isn't there a mechanism in place that would just make that happen?
No.
Okay. Well, I would think that would be easier. Because
the answer is no, especially for elected officials.
Okay. Because you would think, and again, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, would be, well, there's always going to be somebody that's last in a group. Someone has to be last. And if the leverage is you're last, well... Then somebody else is last, and you just keep leapfrogging each other. That's a difficult position.
Well, a number of years ago, the city council did a survey. We did a survey of all Class 2 cities and looked at how the city councils function. Now, Bloomington is, in a way, rather unique in that we meet...
No, four, get out of here.
Well, yeah. I'll accept that.
Okay.
We meet four times a month, so we meet in committee twice a month and council twice a month, and many cities only meet two times a month.
Okay.
And some cities only meet one time a month. So
the same cities in your classification, or just
yes,
in general?
At that time, now that may have changed because
we are comparing apples to apples here.
That's right.
Okay.
But we tried to find. Find out, you know, what work was done, how much they were paid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then what we did was, we being the city council committee, we pegged it at the middle range for the city council's pay at that time. And we did it in an election year so that if people wanted to make a pay raise on an election issue, then please do, you know. And we'll live with the consequences. So that's a little different in this case, wherein the clerk's office did the research. We didn't see the comparables necessarily, and I think that's probably the bigger issue of the two. And so, you know, that's kind of where it landed this time around. So Councilmember Smith, Chopra, and Piedmont Smith, Chopra, and Sirbaum offered the amendment, which basically said, you know, we understand there's disparity here, but we want to know more about it. So, you know, let's go forward with a 5% increase in 2017, do the research in 2017, and adjust your. Actually, we can adjust the anybody's salary at any point in time. We don't have to wait for the budget. So that's a possibility that once the research is done by the city's human resources department, which, you know, we being the council look at as being far more independent than somebody doing the research on their own salary.
Absolutely right.
basically what it comes down to.
And so. And you'll hear the results of that moving forward.
That's right.
All right, what time tomorrow night?
7:30, council chambers, and we get to business right away. We'll start off with the historic designation and then move on to the Dunhill Apartments. There's one more piece. One more piece, and that is after we go through the PUD, then we have to pick up another piece of legislation that will basically vacate Grant Street, which is not a street currently in the Dunhill project. The developer will use that as a greenway and a pathway rather than a street. So the city has to vacate that.
And that's going to be the easiest part of the meeting, correct?
That's probably true. People would be tired and say, yeah, that's fine. Let's move on.
But that does make sense if that's the piece of the puzzle that is needed.
Exactly.
There. All right. Well, we're going to let you go so you can get your nap. You get a nap in today, so you'll be ready for tomorrow night, and we'll hear all about the results next Tuesday morning.
Good talking with you.
Great job, Tim. We appreciate it.
Thank you.